So overall, we have faced a major disruption the last few weeks. Our routines, our lives, our livelihoods, our jobs, our relationships, it seems like everything has grinded to a halt. It's interesting that not too long ago, I was wondering what I might do with a few weeks off. Get rested up before the baby comes. Get some stuff done around the house. And here we are with plenty of time off, and I'll be honest with you, it's awful. Yesterday, our girls were saying how much they missed school and homework. Because right now, spring break isn't even like a fun break. It's a sit at home and do barely anything break. And it kind of stinks. Now, don't get me wrong. We've done stuff. We've played soccer, tennis, and baseball in the yard. We've watched a couple movies. We played a long game of Monopoly that still isn't even over yet. We've taken the dog on walks, and we've played charades in our living room. But it's a major disruption. Let's just call it what it is. And so we're faced, each one of us, with daily decisions as to how we're going to navigate through it. Are we going to take it seriously and accept this disruption for what it is? Or are we going to thumb our noses at the disruption like the spring breakers I saw on TV? See, I think disruption sometimes is what we need. Sometimes it's a good thing. When our crazy busy lives and our hectic schedules are forced to grind to a halt, then all of a sudden we find ourselves with time to ponder and pray and think about what matters most. When our daily routines are disrupted, we are faced with choices as to how we're going to use our time and energy. And I think it reveals a lot about who we are deep down inside. So ultimately, the challenge becomes to dig deep and strive to be made better by this major time of disruption that's been thrust upon us all. See, we worship and serve Jesus, who I believe brings quite a lot of disruption into our lives, a lot of disruption into the lives of the people he was preaching to and serving in the first century. And I believe in a lot of ways the Sermon on the Mount that we've been going through during this Lenten season is actually disruption in the form of teaching. After all, the people hearing these sermons for the first time, they had it made. They're the Israelites of God's old covenant promises, adhering to the law. And yet Jesus comes in and he disrupts all of that. And in a lot of ways, for the people at that time, it acts like a spiritual standstill. Now, I've really had to reframe the Sermon on the Mount and the teaching I was going to do over the last couple of weeks because things have changed. Obviously, some scriptures seem even more relevant today than some of the others I had planned. So for today, after a week of thinking and praying and contemplating, we land at the beginning of Matthew chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. Let's listen and hear God's word for us. Be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets to be honored by others. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Now, this section of the Sermon on the Mount is actually part of a three-part teaching on how we ought to behave when doing something that the Lord asks us all to do. First, it starts with giving to the needy. That's all throughout Scripture. Next, it will move to prayer and then to fasting, spiritual disciplines that are intended to hone our faith. And in each of these sections, Jesus uses a pattern where he's ultimately saying, here's what you have been doing and why you do it, but I'm telling you that a new way is here that will disrupt your old ways. And now the choice is up to you as to how you're going to act. Piety, striving for holiness, back in that day was a very big deal for the Jewish culture. The culture was a very public culture, and so it became easy to get credit for pious acts, for doing good things, for being generous, praying well, fasting. And all of these are spiritual exercises that are intended to be between us and God, but they were brought into public life as displays of holiness. If you recall, a few months back, I preached about the poor widow who brings her meager tithe, and she had to bring it to the coffers in the public square. So everyone saw what she was doing. At the time, Jesus is with his disciples, and they're witnessing her giving. You can imagine, on the other hand, a rich man walking through town with his wheelbarrows full of gold, showing off even as he's giving to the temple, giving to God, his wealth on full display. This type of behavior would have been applauded in that day. How generous you are to be giving so much of your gold to the temple. How great you are to be giving to the needy. Wow, you are such an eloquent prayer. And yet here comes Jesus, disrupting it all. Jesus teaches this here in the Sermon on the Mount because I think he recognizes that disruption leads to a choice. We're either going to keep going the way we were going all along, or we're going to take the new opportunities, the disruptions, as points of learning, as points of growth and transformation. So with that concept in mind, I jump ahead to another idea that shows up a few verses later in the same section of Matthew 6. Jesus is teaching, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moths and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moths and vermin do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. This is yet another type of disruption that Jesus points out. We spend so much time and energy building up amazing lives for ourselves. We typically get all the things we want and we go far beyond our needs in acquiring our desires. Let's admit it, we have fairly cushy lives. We get to go out to meals, be served breakfast, lunch, or dinner. We get to have nice things in our homes. We get to drive nice cars. We get to have nice clothes and a nice roof over our heads. Ultimately, Jesus tells us that's treasure on earth, and it doesn't really matter all that much. Now we're being forced to live that reality here in our presently isolated lives. Our whole world has been forced to succumb to extreme measures, to isolation, all because of a microscopic virus one that didn't even exist for humans just a few months ago. And now we're all faced with questions about our mortality, about our safety, about the things we have, about what matters most, and about our ever-transforming faith in Jesus Christ. So maybe in that sense, it's a disruption that we actually need. Now, I am not saying that God put the virus here so that our world could be upended and our faith could be tested. I'm not saying that at all. What I am saying is that this historic, globally captivating moment is a disruption. It might be a disruption to all the things we've held dear up to this point. But now that the disruption is here, we have an opportunity. Is our faith going to grow? Or are we just going to keep doing life as we've been doing it all along? That is our choice. So how are you going to serve? And how are you going to give? And how are you going to pray? How are you going to share God's love? And what things are you going to store up? Are you on the right track? Or does this break time, this disruption, allow each of us to ponder these things and maybe come out of it on the other side, ready to make some different choices and have some different priorities? I guess what I'm saying today is that maybe, just maybe, a little disruption is what we need right now. Just like the spiritual routines of the people of Judea needed to be disrupted in Jesus' day so they could grow, maybe we can take advantage of this disruption to establish some new patterns so we can grow and be transformed into Christ's likeness, so we can grow into who Christ is calling each one of us to be. The opportunity of disruption has presented itself. Whether we like it or not, it is here. What are we going to do with it? That choice is yours. Amen. Would you please join me now in a moment of prayer? Oh Lord, we thank you for being with us. We thank you for teaching us. We thank you for providing us with disruption in our lives in hope that our attention might be turned to you and to what you are doing and to what you are saying and to what you are speaking into our lives, even in these most difficult circumstances. God, our world is in chaos and living in fear, and yet we pray that your peace would reign over it all. We pray that we Christians, we the church, would be beacons of your light, even in the darkest of places. And we pray that your presence would be manifest through everything we do, the ways we choose to love and serve and reorganize our lives so that you once again become our number one priority. God, we pray that you be with people all over the world, all over our country, our state, our community, our church, as we face this nasty virus. We pray that you would bring people to health who have contracted it, We pray your protection over all those who have not. In our own congregation, in our own church family, we lift up Priscilla Klein and the many folks who are with her right now, stuck in Guatemala with the borders having been closed. Lord, they don't know how long they're going to be there, and they don't have all the supplies and medications they need. God, we don't have all the answers. And yet we pray, God, that your presence would be with them and that you would open doors as you see fit so that those folks might be served and get the things that they need to survive. And God, that they be able to come back home safely in due time. Lord, we lift up Paul Eckel, who has not been feeling well. And we pray that you would have your hand of healing upon him. We pray for Jeannie Oliver, who's had a difficult time and even more difficult without being able to have visitors. We pray that your presence would be with her and that she would know that she is loved by many. Lord, for Jennifer and for Brittany, getting ready to have babies this week, we pray for my family and for the Dickerson family that you would hold them near and dear to you in this precarious time, that you would bring healthy little girls into the world, and that love, your love, would be showered upon them. God, for the many things that have been said this morning and for the many prayers that have not been vocalized but rest within our hearts, we know you are a God who hears the cries of our hearts, and we give you thanks for that. Just as we give you thanks for this church in its present form as we gather together to hear from you, to be with you, and to be with one another online. Just as we thank you for your word that teaches us how to live, just as we thank you for Jesus Christ, the one who in holy ways disrupts our lives to draw us nearer to you, and the one who taught us when we pray together to say, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." I've got a few announcements to give. Wanted to let you know that construction is still moving along, and even though we can't gather together to park in it, the parking lot is nearly open, and the exterior of the church is really coming into shape. If you tune in tomorrow to the morning show that I'm hosting, you'll be able to get a construction update. We want to show you what's going on around here. Now, on a personal note, tomorrow Jen and I will be going to the doctor for induction, so our baby girl will be here by Tuesday at the latest. We are really excited. It's been a long 40 weeks, so just keep us in prayer as we go into tomorrow and into Tuesday and into our family finally growing into its full form. Also pray for the Dickersons going in for Brittany's cesarean on Wednesday. The church office at this point is open this week, but we are monitoring state mandates and we are anticipating a possible shutdown. I think, like everything, we've been a bit ahead of the curve. So for now, feel free to call or even better to email us if you need anything, and we'll keep you posted on whether or not we close down the church office this week. All church-sponsored gatherings are suspended for the time being. This should extend to table talk groups, small groups, and circles as well. Dr. Trotter and I can only perform pastoral care functions in an extremely limited capacity. And truly, your deacon, everyone in our church has one, is the best way to get a hold of us in a pinch. Please only call upon us for a visit if it is a dire emergency. But if it is an emergency, please do not hesitate to reach out. This week, we will be starting our full schedule of online offerings starting tomorrow morning with This Week with Pastor Dino. That's me. This will be a short show that gives us a time to reflect on the last week of this world's events, talk about what's going on at our church this upcoming week, and spend some time in devotion and prayer. So we hope you will join us online tomorrow. Please take time to connect with your fellow congregants, see how everyone's doing. I am doing my best to make as many phone calls as I can. Eventually, I will get to all of you. I have a few things going on right now, but I'll get to all of you in due time. Everyone here needs to be checked in on right now. So let's commit to doing that together. I think that'll really keep us connected. On Wednesday night, our concert series will feature John and Donna Megendonce with strings arrangements. It is going to be fantastic, so make sure you tune in Wednesday night at 7 p.m. for that. And lastly, we would ask you to please keep sending in your tithes and offerings to the church office by mail, as it greatly helps us keep things moving along during this difficult time. You can also give online through our church website. There is a give link at the top of www.bradenton.church. So that's what's going on in our church life together as we continue to journey through this tricky time. With that in mind, as we turn our hearts once again to the Lord, we reflect on the amazing grace he has poured out upon each one of us.